These recordings of Rabbi Isaac Bernstein are provided courtesy of Congregation Ner Yisrael in London, where they were originally delivered.
The Parsha of Vayeshev, as you know, is one of the four Sidres that are devoted in the main to Yosef. And it seems to me appropriate to bring a particular essay from the Pachad Yitzchok, Rav Yitzchok Kutner Zatzal, who highlights the very special position that Yosef holds in the annals of our people, and as we'll see, it has its bearing on the Pshuto Shel Mikra, which of course is our main concern. And he begins as follows. I have to tell you, first of all, he's not known for his brevity, but nevertheless, it's certainly a worthwhile exercise. And as you can see from the paragraphs, I've condensed the article somewhat. So he begins as follows. The opening psukim in Parshas Shemos, Sefer Shemos more correctly, V'yele Shemos b'nei Yisrael haboi Mitzrayim, etc., Vayomos Yosef v'chol echov v'chol hador hahu. So there is mention made in the beginning of Sefer Shemos concerning the death of Yosef. Zuhi apam hayechida shehuzkaro bakosuv misosom shel hashvatim bichlal. This is the first time at the beginning of Sefer Shemos that the death of the other brothers is mentioned. Ve'ilu, however, misoso shel Yosef huzkaro bekan v'techilas Sefer Shemos. The death of Yosef is mentioned here at the beginning of Sefer Shemos. V'nichbelo besofo shel Sefer Bereishis. And in fact, this is a repetition of the death of Yosef, which has already been mentioned at the end of Sefer Bereishis. Asher hasiyum shelahu, where the Sefer Bereishis concludes, Vayomos Yosef, etc. Ubevadai, and it is for sure, Sherau ilonu lehisorer al misoso shel Yosef, we have to examine, investigate, why it is that the death of Yosef is mentioned on two occasions. Shehi parshon shenemro v'chozer v'nishnes. V'yod asher misosom shel shar shavotim lo motzinu bo chazoras mishne. Why is it that the death of Yosef is mentioned the end of Sefer Bereishis, beginning of Sefer Shemos, and the death of the other shvotim is mentioned only at the beginning of Shemos? V'havonas hadavorim hu al pimashen izvayer v'divurim akodmim. We can understand this phenomenon when we address ourselves to what we have already highlighted in previous essays. V'chulukei inyonei ho'avhus v'madregos binyono shel Knesset Yisroel. We have to investigate the contribution made by the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, to the building of Klal Yisroel. Now, I don't mean in the sense of father-grandfather. We mean in the following sense. We have the klal of Maisa Ovo Simen Lavonim, that the events in the lifetime of the Ovos is the symbolic pre-enactment of the history of our people. And this has particular relevance to the actual structure of Klal Yisroel itself. Because on the one hand, whatever happened to the Ovos will happen to the children. But more importantly, for our purposes this evening, we have to emphasize that what did not happen to the Yavos will not happen to the Bonim. And as we will see, this has its relevance in regards to the building of Klal Yisroel. Let us investigate further. De'in yonu shel Avraham Avinu hu shehoya techila lagerim v'yal yedei zeh hu av hamon goyim. What contribution did Avraham Avinu make to the building of Klal Yisroel? He's not a born Jew. He's an individual who became a convert to Judaism. So what he has symbolically enacted in his lifetime in regards to the building of Klal Yisroel is quite simply that anyone can become a Jew. That's his contribution. And that's why he's an Av Hamon Goyim, because he now presents the opportunity to any individual to embrace Yiddishkeit. A new dimension, however, is added by Yitzchok. The inyono shel Yitzchok, shohoya horishon shohoya kol dosh mi rechem, v'al yedei zeh hu horishon shenimo lishmona. Yitzchok adds a new dimension. Yitzchak is the firstborn Jew. It is possible not only to become a Jew, it is possible to be born a Jew. That's the inyono shel Yitzchak. The inyono shel Yaakov boze, shohoyo horishon asher mitoso shleima, v'yal yedei ze lo yidach mimenu nodoch. When we look at Abraham, we see there at the initiation of a phenomenon that a person can become a Jew. Yitzchak adds a new dimension. It is possible to be born a Jew. But look at Yitzchak's family. Yitzchak is married to Rivka, and yet one of his children is in, and one of his children is out. So what has that contributed to the building of Klal Yisrael? Yes, a person can be born a Jew. But from the point of view of Maisa Ova Simen Abonim, if we would have been left with Yitzchak and with Yitzchak alone, married to Rivka, we would have had the phenomenon that it's possible for a Jew to marry a Jewess, and for some of the children to be Jewish, and some of the children to be not Jewish. As we mentioned last week, Esav is not Zera Yitzchak. So therefore, Yaakov is the Chutameshulosh. Comes Yaakov, married to Rachel Velea Vechule, and he is the first one whose entire family are in. So from that moment on, it has been determined, Als Maise Ovo Simel Abonim, that when a Jew marries a Jewess, the entire family is Jewish, and you cannot opt out. And Yisroel afal pi shechoto, Yisroel hu, no matter how non-observant you may be, but you're in. You're not a goy. You cannot opt out. And he goes on to say in his own beautiful way, Avraham Avinu is the Yershta Gevoriner, Yitzchak is the Yershta Gevoriner, and Yaakov the Yershta Fafaliner, but these are Yiddishisms with which I do not want to engage you at the moment. Now, says the Rabbi Yitzchak Hutner, we are in a position to understand the contribution which is made by Yosef HaTzadik in the area of Binyono Shel Klal Yisrael Als Maisa of a Simen Labonim, as follows. Elo Sheminias Nitukzu Akate Mokom Porus Yeshbo. Even after Yaakov has come on the scene, and all his children are Jewish without question, that seems to be now the completion of everything that is needed for Klal Yisroel. Because from now on, everybody's in the fold. Says Rav Yitzchak Hutner, I'm sorry to have to tell you, there's a loophole. There is a place here at Mokum Porus Yeshba. There is a breach which still needs to be filled. Why? Dinehi de Yisroel afal pi shechoto Yisroel hu. Because even though from the moment Yaakov Avinu and his wives and children have come on the scene, it is not possible for a Jew to opt out. V'chol ma'ase hamoros sheba'olam lo yafkiu mi ben Yisrael es kedushas Yisrael shebo. And no matter how much he wants to rebel, he's still a Jew. Mikol mokom adayin efshar likedushas Yisrael shetipoka al yedei ha'halocha tehabo al hanochris vlado kemos. There's still a loophole. And that is, if a Jew marries a non-Jewess, the child is a goy. So whereas one has through Yaakov achieved the phenomenon that when a Jew marries a Jewess, all children are Jewish. But there is still a possibility that the Jew will marry a non-Jewess and all will be lost. Not because of the Jewish parents, but because of the non-Jewish alliances. And therefore, unless we can symbolically pre-enact the Jews' unwillingness to become involved with the non-Jewess and be tempted away, so that the children will therefore be no longer in the fold, unless there is a symbolic enactment of that phenomenon, we are chas v'sholom lost, and all that Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov have achieved, als meise of a similar bonim, will be lost. Umitzadze, it is through non-Jewish alliances, akate yesh kan heichetimtze shel ibud shem Yisroel. It would still be possible to lose one's Jewishness, not for oneself, but for the next generation. The kan hu moko madregoso shel Yosef HaTzadik, shekein al yodo geduro hi piritzozu. It is here that Yosef HaTzadik makes his contribution to the building of Klal Yisroel. Why? Because Osa Nisa, the fleeing of Yosef from Potiphar's wife, asher oleho kosov bamikro vayonos achutza, Nikleto betor chelik kavua b'shir komosa shel yisrut shel kineset Yisrael uva temunahi hashemira ledoros. This act of Yosef HaTzadik of being tempted by a non-Jewess and refusing to succumb is not an individual episode. It's not an isolated item in his life. This is Yosef HaTzadik's symbolic contribution to the future of Klal Yisroel. This is his contribution through Maisa Ovo Simen Labonim to Binyono Shel Klal Yisroel, Asher Al Yodo, through which act, Muftachu Kiyumo Shel Kedushas Yisroel, the Kedusha of Yisroel is vouchsafed, Shelo Yishlot Bo Ho Avdon, Derech HaPirso Shel HaHalocha Devlado Komus. So therefore, Yosef HaTzadik, by his refusal to be tempted, has in fact closed that binyan of Klal Yisroel, which now ensures its continuity. Now it is true, and he doesn't go into it, but obviously we have to make mention, there are those who have been lost. We are not for one moment unmindful of the fact that there are many who have made their alliances with non-Jewish people, as a result of which their children have been lost. But maybe that is conveyed in the statement by the Torah that he left his garment behind. He himself escaped, but he left his garment behind. I'm not sure whether there is a symbolism there. A garment, you know, represents that part of you which you are able to discard with ease. It could very well be that it refers to those people whose alliance is somewhat flimsy. But be that as it may, the tragedies that we have seen in this particular area do not deny the fact, says Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, that were it not for the fact that Yosef HaTzadik had symbolically enacted this episode with Potiphar's wife, we would have been totally lost. Because again, I emphasize, whatever is not recorded in Maisa Ovos can never become Simon Labonim. Move on now to the next paragraph. Now, having understood the contribution that Yosef HaTzadik has made to the binyan of Klal Yisroel, we can now go back and investigate the question which we raised at the beginning. Ki parshas misoso shel Yosef nemar obasiyim bereishis v'nishneis b'techilas shemos v'yod shemisosom shel shavotim ein bo chazolas mishne v'lo nemar okiyim b'techiloso shel shemos. Why is it that Yosef is mentioned at the end of bereishis and at the beginning of shemos? The answer is v'ho inyan hu diyuin ramban b'peirusho al haTorah b'hakdomoso l'sefer shemos. If you look in the Akdom of the Ramban to Sefer Shmos, you will see he writes there, Ki Bereishis hu Sefer Ha'ovos, hu Shmos hu Sefer Ha'bonim. So therefore, Bekitzur, since Yosef is one of the Bonim, his death has to be recorded together with the other Shvatim. But since in one particular area, he is also Ovos in regards to Binyono Shel Klal Yisroel. And the definition of Ovos, says the Ramban, is that their entire life is contained in Sefer Bereishis. His death must also be recorded in Sefer Bereishis. So his death is recorded in Sefer Bereishis because there is an element of Othos, and his death is recorded in Sefer Shemos because there is an element of body. So Dovor Niflitz is well worth having a look at it at your leisure. Okay. So, in other words, we have some inkling as to exactly what Yosef is in regards to the whole building of Klal Yisroel. Let me draw your attention to something very fascinating. And that is, it's a Maimer Chazal, which we have looked at in the past. As you know, the love that Yaakov has for Yosef is symbolized in the coat that he makes for him, in Posuk Gimel. The Yisroel Ohaves Yosef Mikol Bonov, Kiven Zekunimulo, the Osolo Kesones Pasim. There is a very interesting Gemara, a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yud Amud Beis. Let me read it out for you. Omar Rav. So Rav says, Le'olam al Yishane Adam Beno Bein Abonim. A father should never make distinctions between his children. Why? Shebishvil Mishkal Shenes Eloi Milas Shenosan Yaakov LeYosef Yosef Misharbonov. Because for the sake of two seloim weight of fine wool, which Yaakov gave more to his son Yosef than the rest of his other children, Niskanu Boechov, his brothers became jealous, Vinisgalgel Hadovar, and one thing led to another, Vayeredu Avosenu Limitzvah. That's the Gemara, and looking back over my notes, I believe we have addressed ourselves to this Gemara in the past. Reb Nochum of Grodno, who was actually one of the most profound influences on the Chofetz Chaim Zatzal, he only directs our attention to one statement in the Chazal. And that is, Chazal were anxious to tell us that the fine wool from which this particular garment was made weighed two seloim. Mishkal shenei seloim milas. What did the rabbis want to tell us with these words, shenei seloim? Says Reb Nochum so beautifully. We'll go back over the psukim. Eile toledos Yaakov, Yosef ben Shavayis leishona, hayaro esechov batzon, vuhunar espenevil hovi espenezil ponashe oviv, vayove Yosef estivosomra oel avihem. Which Reb Nochum translates as, and Yosef brought a report, Ra'o el avihem. His father wasn't happy with it. After all, the Gemara says in Arve Psochim, a person should never spread gossip when he is the only person who spreads it. Because as we know, one witness is not acceptable in a court of law. You do damage and you achieve no end. So therefore, Yaakov was most displeased. But on the other hand, he didn't want to tell him off openly because he loved him. And he couldn't bring himself to tell him off. So what did he do? So he made him a coat and he said to Yosef, this coat is made of two seloim weight of wool. Hoping that Yosef would get the message. What's the message? Message is, the Gemara tells us, Mila v'sela, words are worth a sela in weight, Shetika v'shetayim, silence is worth two seloim. So he was hoping that Yosef would understand that as important as you think the report that you are bringing to me is, but as they say in the classic, zum Schweigen kommt das nicht, it doesn't approach the merits of silence. Classic observation. To shtei seloim milas. Let me just mention, while we are on this question of shtei seloim milas, the Meshech Chochma says, and he has a medrash in Mishlei and Shocher Tov, Meshech Chochma says there are two averos which follow the Jewish people down through the ages. One is the golden calf, and the other is the sin of selling Yosef. The golden calf that it follows us down through the ages is the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Medrash Shochar Tov says that the Chet of Mechiras Yosef follows us down through the ages. Says Meshech Chochma, that is why we say on Yom Kippur, Ki atos solechon li Yisroel, which refers to the Chet Oegel, u'machalon leshiv te yishulun, which is the Chet of the brother selling Yosef. Says the Meshech Chochma, the proof that we have to atone every year for the Chet of Mechiras Yosef is by the fact that the Gemara says that when we sent away the Soir HaMishtaleach, right, that goat that was sent away to fall over a cliff, we tied wool around its horns, red wool. And the Gemara says in Yomo, in Membeis, that the weight of the wool was Shnei Siloim, to remind us that the goat is also atoning for the chet of Mechiras Yosef. Says Meshech Chochma, that's why the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKodoshim on Yom Kippur. Not only because it is the holiest part of the temple, but because it's the only part of the temple which was built on the Chelek of Binyamin, the only one of the brothers who was not involved in Mechiras Yosef. So this is again part of this Mishkal Shnei Siloim. Well, on the occasion that he offered them his dream, so he tells them, Anachnu mi'almu malumim, etc. Vayomru lo echov. So his brothers say to him, Posuk Ches, Hamolech timlo cholenu, im moshol timshol bonu. Very interesting double phrase. Hamolech timlo cholenu, im moshol timshol bonu. Here we have a look at the comments of the Gaon, taken from his Pelush in Mishlei. What is the difference between a Melech and a Moshel? Says the God, Vehoinyin, ki Melech hu, the definition of a Melech is, Shekulam yatu shechem echad liyavdo, v'yitnu lo keser melucha. A Melech is a person who has been appointed king by common consent. And it could very well be HaMelech b'yatzmo shoveh l'sha'ar ha'om b'yechuso, that the individual who is chosen by the people is no more superior to the rest of the people. Ach shekulam yamlichu aleihem v'kablu ol malchuso, but the people are very anxious to appoint him. So the definition of a melech is a ruler who has been appointed by popular acclaim. U'mosheil, what is the definition of a Moshel, says the Gaon? Hu shemalchuso ba'o elav v'bechinas Moshel, shehu gibor mikulam v'kovesh eretz o'umo achas sheyihiyu tachas memshalto. A Moshel is a person who rules without consent, by force. That's the difference between a Melech and a Moshel. That is why the brother said to Yosef, Hamoloch timloch aleinu im moshol timshol bonu. Meaning, since Yosef had said two things in his dream, ki omava chalomo shenei devorim. Number one, vihine kamo alumosi, behold my sheaf became erect, shemore, which was a symbolism, al memshalto shekamo betokev, that he intended to rule over them by force. The gam kein, and also mentioned in his dream was, which implied that you are going to bow down to me of your own accord. So therefore, according to the Gaon, Yosef HaTzadik was telling his brothers, in my dream I dreamt two things. Number one, I am going to rule over you by force. And there is also going to be a situation where you are going to accept me voluntarily. Filochein heshivu. That is why they said to him, Hamoloch timloch aleinu. We are going to accept you voluntarily. Im moshol timshol bonu. And you also think that you are going to rule over us against our will? So that's the repetition of Hamoloch im moshol. Says the Gaon. V'zehu shesidru batfilo. And now that we recognize the difference between Melech and Moshel, we will understand what it is that we say in our davening. Ki l'ashem hamelucha u'moshel bagoyim. And then we say, v'hoyo Hashem le'melech al kol ha'oretz. But
V'hoyo Hashem leMelech al kol ha'aretz. At some future date, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's going to be king over all the world. He's not king over all the world now. V'lechure yipolei. It's difficult to understand. Ma she'nemar achakach. V'hoyo Hashem leMelech al kol ha'aretz. V'lo mitechila chas v'sholom. As if to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not king over the world now? The answer is he isn't. Achoinyan. Truth of the matter is, says the God, She'anachnu amo b'nei Yisrael, we who are his people, kibalnu ol malchuso aleinu, we accepted HaKadosh Baruch Hu as our king, and that's the definition of a melech, one who has been accepted voluntarily. So therefore, as far as we are concerned, he is our king. But lo cheinu over the kochavim, but not so with the goyim. He's not their melech. He is their Moshe, because God rules over the world whether they accept him or don't. Shehu Moshe aleihem kiretzono, v'rodo behem kechefzo, v'lohem nikra Moshe. And therefore, as far as the goyim are concerned, at this particular moment in time, he is not a melech. He is a Moshe. So therefore, we say like this: Ki Lashem hamelucha. God has melucha, meaning aleinu. Umosheil, but he is only a mosheil bagoyim. Afshelo kiblu ola umosheil bohem, or for the yosid at some future date. Yatu chulam shechem echad liyavdo, the yitnu lo kester melucha, at a future date, even the goyim will accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the king. Is at that time, v'hoyo Hashem lemelech al kol ha'oretz. Meaning she al kol ha'oretz yikorei melech, kar she yikablu kol ha'oretz ol malchuso aleihem. So the nusach ha'tfilo becomes so beautiful and so understandable in the light of the Gaon's comment. Okay. Now, as you know, one thing leads to another. The dreams only fan the flames. And eventually, Yosef is sent to inquire as to the welfare of the brothers, approaches them, they want to kill him, then they throw him into the pit, and then Yosef is sold. Now, I want to look into this sale, because the sale is rather strange when you look into the psukim in the end of Lamed Zayin. I'm referring to psukim Chavav, Chav Zayin, and Chav Ches. Vayeshvu lecho lechem, the brothers sit down to eat, Vayisu einehem, and they raise up their eyes, vayiru, and they see, vihine orchas Yishmaelim, they see a caravan of Yishmaelim coming down. Okay? So Yehuda says, lechu v'nim kerenu la Yishmaelim. Let's sell them to the Yishmaelim. Is vayavru anoshim midyonim socharim. All of a sudden, we're talking about Yishmaelim, and the midyonim are here. Who asked for them? What are they doing here? There is a fascinating orachayim on Pasuk Kapches. Vayavru anoshim midyonim. Sorech loda. We have to investigate. Lama hizkir evrat anoshim midyonim. Why is this business about midyonim mentioned? Achar shelo hoyo hamecher elo liyishmoelim. Seemingly, the sale was only to the Yishmaelim, ki yomro, as the Pasuk in fact says, vayimkeru es Yosef la Yishmaelim. They sold Yosef to the Yishmaelim in Pasuk Kavches quite clearly. V'chein muchach mehaksuvim lamalo, and it would appear that this is confirmed by the earlier psukim which we read out, v'hine yorechas Yishmaelim v'omi Gilad. It's a caravan of Yishmaelim that are coming from Gilad, and Yehuda says, lechuvenim kerenu la Yishmaelim. Is im kein sipur vayavru anoshim midyonim lo noda kavanosa. Why did the Torah bring in these midyonim? What place do they have in the sale? Odroing, I have another problem. Sheyomer od akosav achazeh. Most perplexing. If you look later on in Pasuk Lamed Vav, you will see there vahamidonim machru oso. It's the midyonim who sold him to Mitzrayim. Is doch im kein muchach ki lamedonim micharu, that he was sold to the midyonim because of Rishon Lakhisho. But the psukim that we've just mentioned contradict this. Odomar akosuf. Another pasuk says later on, For Yosef, who had Mitzrayim, Yosef is brought down to Mitzrayim. Vayikneu Potiphar miyad hayishmeyelim. I have to tell you, traveling about 10, 11 years ago, I had two simchas on a Sunday evening, and I was in one hotel for a golden wedding, and I had to be in another hotel for a bar mitzvah. It just comes back to me just this minute while I'm going through the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. And I'm in a terrible hurry. I had to make a speech here, and the reception went on for an hour and a half instead of a half an hour, the usual mitzvahs. So anyway, finally, Baruch Hashem, I managed to get a taxi, and I just sink into the back seat, and I says to the driver, I said, please, I said, would you take me to so-and-so, so-and-so? Right, sir. He doesn't know me. I don't know him. We're going along, and we stop at a traffic light, and he says to me, without looking at me, he says, sir, who sold them? The Yishmaelim or the Midyanim? I will never forget it as long as I live. This is the truth. It's 100%. So coming back over the Or HaChaim, I suddenly realized he's the fellow that much longer the Or HaChaim. It wasn't that time. But this is what's going on. The psukim are so obviously full of contradictions. For Chazal Omru, so Chazal wanted to get around this particular problem, and they say, Melamed Shenimkar Mechiros Harbei. They say that he was sold many times. Yishmoelim, Midyanim, Midyanim, Yishmoelim. Zogt Yer HaChaim HaKadosh, V'yein Misyashvim Pshotei HaKsuvim Bozeh V'Hovein. But you know that the Psukim cannot be explained in their simple sense by the comment which Chazal made that he was sold over and over and over again. So what is the solution to this problem? It would appear on the one hand the Yishmaelim are responsible both for buying him and selling him on, and on the other hand it appears that the Midyanim were involved buying him from the brothers and selling him on to Mitzrayim. So how do we reconcile the Psukim? Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, V'hanochon hu, the incorrect interpretation to my mind is like this, Ki perusho shel devarim hu al zeh haderech. The first thing is like this. The Pasuk tells you, V'hine orachas yishmoelim. Behold, there is a caravan of Arab merchants. That's what they are. V'divrei Yehuda she'omar l'chu v'nim karenu la yishmoelim. And Yehuda recognizes this caravan of Arab merchants, and he says to his brothers, let us sell him to them. Now, the only problem is, the Socharim Yishmoelim, these Arab merchants, they are carrying, as the Pasuk says, various herbs and spices. That is their business. They are not handlers. They are spice merchants. They know from spices, they know from nothing else. And therefore, they are interested in Yosef in no way whatsoever. Spices, yes. Anything outside, they're not in the slightest bit interested. Since these Arab merchants are only interested in their own particular speciality, and there is no way that they are going to be interested in buying a slave and selling him for a profit, because it's not their geshef. Asher al kain, his min Hashem, anoshim midyonim socharim. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, ordained it, that there should be in this caravan midyonim who are socharim. Socharim means they are interested in making money in whatever shape or form, through whatever. And therefore, Perush, Shemakirim Kolmin Schora Asher Tizdamein Liknosola Harvocha. They are the type of people who are interested in being middlemen for anything, as long as there is a profit to be made. That's the Midyanim. And they happen to be traveling along with this caravan. Beteda, and you should know, Ki Hasocher Eino Baal Hakis. The Socher, the middleman, doesn't have to have any money. But he is a person with the information. Knowledge is power. Ubalakis yikne altiv. And the person with the money will buy on his recommendation. This is good to buy. I guarantee you, you'll make a good profit. Kamosha yadu azeh bepinos gedolos bo'olam, as we find in many centers in the world. Uvim tzous elo hasokrim nigmar hadovar shel hamecher leYishmoelim. And through the Midyanim Socharim, the Yishmoelim agreed to purchase him and to leave it to the Midyanim to let them know when was the time to sell and what was the price to ask. So therefore, when the Pasuk says, Vayavru Anoshim Midyanim Socharim, that's correct, Shuviyam Siyusa Mokru Yosef LeYishmoelim, it was through the Midyanim that the brothers managed to sell Yosef to the Yishmoelim. Were it not for the Midyanim's advice, the brothers would never have been able to sell him to the Yishmoelim, because the Yishmoelim would not have been interested. It's not their line. Lo hayu ha-Yishmoelim konim. Is vihine kivon shebein shenehem hamidonim v'ha-Yishmoelim hayu hamecher. So therefore, since the transaction was conducted as a partnership between the Midyanim and the Yishmoelim, therefore, Hare Yesh La Midyanim Chelik Berevach. So therefore, the Midyanim are entitled to a share of the profits, Letzaki Heim Hakonim, because they are the ones who are promoting this particular business enterprise. And on the other hand, Valei Yishmoelim Chelik Berevach, the Yishmoelim are also entitled to a part of the profit, Letzaki Heim Valei Kisim Asher Nosnu Esrim Kosim, because they are the ones who put up the money to purchase him. So that is why it says, Vahamidonim Mokru Elso El Mitzrayim, the Midonim were the ones who sold him to Mitzrayim. Why? Kitzad Shehoyolo Hem Chelik Bo. Because since they had a share in the enterprise, and they also knew the value that they should get for this person, they were the ones who sold him. Lo ha-Yishmoelim, ki einam bekiyim b'shir shavyo, because the Yishmoelim wouldn't know what to ask for. Avol gufo shel Yosef hayo b'yad ha-Yishmoelim. But if you want to know who owned Yosef at the time when he was sold, the Yishmoelim, because they were the ones who actually bought him for the money. So that is why it says that Potiphar bought Yosef miyad ha-Yishmoelim. Not who conducted the sale, but who owned Yosef to the extent that Yosef is now being purchased from them is dikdek lomar miyad ki biyadom hayo, because he was in their reshus. He was their property, Shahoridu Shama, because they had brought him down there. The Ein Mitzius Liknoso Potiphar Zulas Mimar Shahoyobayota. So therefore, says the Orachaim HaKadosh, if you want to know the solution to this particular problem, you will note that the Yishmoelim are the merchants. They are the ones with the money. They, under normal circumstances, would never have been interested in purchasing Yosef with a view to selling him at a profit later on, were it not for the fact that in their caravan there were Midianite merchants who handled in anything which will turn a profit, and therefore they told the Yishmoelim to part with money to purchase him, convincing them that they would be able to get a handsome profit when they sold him on again. So in reality, the Midyanim and the Yishmoelim were part of the sale of Yosef by the brothers, because the Yishmoelim put up the money and the Midyanim were the ones who negotiated the actual deal. And when it regards to selling him on to Mitzrayim, again, it was the Yishmoelim who actually had to part with him because he was their property, and it was the Midyanim who actually negotiated the sale on ahead to the Mitzrayim. Let me now turn to a part of the Sidra that we have not looked at in recent shiurim, and that is the whole episode of Er Onan Shelo Tomor Yehuda, Perek Lamedches, a most fascinating episode, and I would like to draw your attention to one or two very important inyanim. Okay, the details I'm sure are well known to you. Let's just have a look at the beginning of Perek Lamed Ches. Er, Onan, and Shelo are the three children. And as the pasuk says, Vayehi Er Bechor Yehuda Rav Yenei Hashem, Vayemiseo Hashem, Er, the Bechor of Yehuda was bad in the eyes of Hashem, and Hashem killed him. Now, Vayome Yehuda Li Onan, so Yehuda said to his second son, Vo el eshes ochicha, come to your brother's wife, veyabeim osa, and perform the inyan of yibum, vahakeim zera liyochicha, and thereby produce children for your brother. Vahakeim zera liyochicha, as Rashi says, habein yikore al shem hames. Son who will be born from this new union will be called after the deceased. Now I want to draw your attention to the Ramban on this pasuk. Now the Ramban is a long Ramban, but the place where you find it in the traditional Mikros Gedolos is on the left-hand page, about midway down in the column. Aval ha'inyan sod gadol misodos ha'Torah betoladas ha'adam. This whole inyan of Yibum obviously predates Matan Torah. I mean, we know Yibum as one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. I mean, in Parshas Ki Tzeitzei. But it would appear that Yibum makes its appearance already here. Says the Ramban, how come that Yibum makes its appearance here? Again, I repeat, Aval ha'inyan, the concept of Yibum is Sod Godol Misodos HaTorah Betolados HaOdom. It is one of the secrets of the Torah, and it is something which affects progeny of man. V'nikarhu, and it is something which is recognized, Le'enei ro'im asher nosan lohem Hashem, einayim lir'os v'yoznayim lishmoa. And the whole inyan of Yibum is something which can be understood and which was already understood by people to whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given that insight. V'hoyu ha-chachomim ha-kadmonim podom ha-Torah yodim, and the chachomim ha-kadmonim, the earlier chachomim before the Torah was given, were obviously aware ki yesh to'eles gedola v'yibum ha'ach, that there is a tremendous advantage to be obtained by the wife of the deceased marrying the deceased's brother. A tremendous advantage. The hu hora'ui lihiyos kodembo v'yacharov hakorov v'mishpoch. Originally, says the Ramban, the mitzvah of Yibum was to bring back the soul of the deceased brother through the medium of Yibum. And therefore, Yibum should be performed, and the greatest and maximum advantage is obtained when Yibum is performed by the brother of the deceased. Ve'acharov, if there is no brother, hakorov b'mishpocha. It was understood that there are still advantages to be gained by the wife of the deceased marrying the nearest relative of the deceased. Kichol she'eiro hakorov elov mimishpachto, asher hu yoresh nachalo, yagia mimenu to'eles. Because you should know that in the same way as we find there are various laws affecting inheritance, for instance, if a man dies, sons get the inheritance. If he's got no sons, goes to the father, goes to his brothers, and then there is a long list of people who inherit him. In that same order, the mitzvah of Yibum should be performed. If there is a brother, that's the way it was originally, the brother was the one from whom we gain the maximum advantage in regards to the whole inyan of Yibum. If not, then we should select that relative who would be next in line to inherit. V'hoyu no'agim lisa eishes hameis, and it was the custom that the wife of the deceased would marry either ha'och, first choice is the brother, o ha'ov, or the father of her late husband, o ha'korov min ha'mishpocha. And then on in order of priorities, as it were, the same way as the laws of inheritance move. V'lo yodanu im hoyo mini kadmon lifnei Yehuda. We're not exactly sure whether this was a custom which predated Yehuda. However, in Bereishis Rabo Omru, ki Yehuda hiskil b'mitzvah Yibum techila, ki kasher kibel hasod miyavosav, nizdareiz lahakim oso. The Bereishis Rabba says that Yehuda was the first one who actually introduced the whole concept of Yibum, and he had inherited from his ancestors the sod, the secret of this particular union, which should follow when the deceased dies without any children. Now, however, what happened afterwards? The Chasher Boso HaTorah, the Osro Eishes Kitzas HaKrogim. You must remember that this is all pre-Torah days. So when the Torah came along and forbade certain unions, right? Rotzo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaHatir Iser Eishes HaAch Mipnei HaYibum. Ein Achinami, a brother's wife, is automatically included in the list of forbidden relationships, even after the brother dies. But since, as it were, the Torah recognized that the maximal advantage is obtained when levirate marriage is performed by the brother, so that was a prohibition which the Torah suspended in the case where the brother dies without any children. Einochinami, there is advantage to be gained even when other relatives perform yibum. But since that advantage is not as great as when the brother of the deceased marries, so therefore the Torah was not prepared to suspend those prohibitions in favor of Yibum, only in the case of the brother himself. So therefore, according to the Rambam, the law of Yibum and the sod of Yibum applies to all relatives. The greatest advantage is with the brother of the deceased when he performs the mitzvah of Yibum. However, when the Torah came along and forbade all other relationship of close relatives, the only one which was allowed to be suspended in favor of Yibum was the case of the brother of the deceased. Now, since we know that the purpose of Yibum is to bring back the suspended in favor of Yibum, was the case of the brother of the deceased. Now, since we know that the purpose of Yibum is to bring back the soul of the deceased, as Rashi pointed out already, v'hine nechshav li'achzorius gedola, therefore it is recognized as a matter of the utmost cruelty, ba'och with a brother, if he doesn't want to perform Yibum, the Kodim Oso, and we refer to him as Beis Chalut Hanoal, Kiyato Cholat Nehem. Says the Ramban something extraordinary. Why do we perform the mitzvah of Chalitza? With the Chalitza, you remove a shoe, and there is a strange ceremony which is performed. Why is this Chalut Hanoal? Why is the shoe removed? Says the Ramban, because this individual, knowing full well the tremendous benefits which will accrue to the soul of the deceased if Yibum is performed, and refuses to do this, it is as if he himself has removed himself from the family. This is the ultimate rejection of family by refusing to perform Yibum. And that's as if it were to take off a shoe from your foot. You, as it were, removed yourself from the family by refusing to perform this duty. Or another interpretation which is suggested in the Ramban, not that you are removing yourself from the family, but recognizing what Yibum does for the soul of the deceased that brings him back into this world. What you are really doing by refusing to perform Yibum is you are removing him. He's not able to come back into the life of the family anymore, because without Yibum, his soul is not coming back. Only through Yibum can his soul return. V'hine nechshav li'achzorius gedola b'yach kasher lo yachbots legabeim v'korem oso beis chalutz hanoal. Why? Ki yato cholatz mehem, because as it were he has removed himself from them. V'ro'ui hu sheta'aseh ha'mitzvah hazos b'chalitzas hanoal. And that's why the mitzvah where he refuses to be miyabeim is in fact performed with a shoe, removing it from his... Now comes the interesting P.S. So now you have the following situation. Yibum is valuable to a greater or lesser extent with a variety of relatives. The most advantageous, most beneficial is the brother.
Then we go down the line. But as we know, the Torah came along and forbade so many relationships with the exception of the brother. However, says the Rambam, the Chachomim, recognizing the value of Yibum to a lesser or greater extent with relatives, no matter how far removed they are, they came along and they instituted a form of Yibum, even after Matan Torah, to apply to those relatives who are not precluded by Torah law from marrying the deceased wife. V'hine v'chachme Yisrael hakadmonim, midatom ho'inyan hanich porazeh, knowing full well the importance of Yibum, in higu lifnim v'Yisrael, they already instituted in ancient times, la'asos ha'maisa hazeh, to institute this form of marriage with the deceased wife when he died without children, v'chol yorashei hanachlo. And it should apply to all those who are in line to inherit, v'yosam shelo yihyeh bohem iser ha'se'er, and to those who are not precluded by Torah law from marrying. V'koru'u oso ge'ula. And they called it not Yibum, but ge'ula, redeeming the soul of the departed. V'zeh inyan Boaz, and that is why Boaz performed a form of levirate marriage with Ruth, even though he was not a near relative. But that is precisely why he was encouraged to do so, because he is on the one hand a relative, on the other hand he's not near enough to have been forbidden by the Torah to marry her. And that is why when he performs this geula with Ruth, who was originally married to Machlon, Naomi's son, and we believe that the soul of the deceased comes back into the family with the firstborn son, that is why when Ruth and Boaz had a son, the Pasuk says, people went around saying, Naomi has a son, Yulad Ben Adon. Because it was Machlon's soul that came back. Rezeh, Inyan Boaz, the Tam, Naomi, Vahashachelos, Vahamaskil Yobin. It's a very, very, very important rabbi. Let me just conclude this particular Indian. I have to apologize enough, not really on wonderful vocal form this evening. But let me conclude with a very fascinating comment of Rashi and the Neida B'Yehuda. As I say, we are concerned here with Yibum. And it is I came across something quite extraordinary. Heir dies, Onan is supposed to perform Yibum. Onan dies, and now there's a question of Shelah. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Follow carefully, please. A big chidushim here. Vayomer Yehuda, and Yehuda said, Letomar Kaloso, to Tomar, his daughter-in-law, Shevi Almana Beisavich, you remain a widow in your father's house, Ad Yigdal Shelah Vini, until my son Shelah becomes an adult, Ki Omar, because he said, Pen Yomus Gamhu Ki Echov. Maybe he'll die like his brothers. To put it in classical language, he's killed two husbands already. Right? Which you'll find is not a humorous comment. That's the basis of what we're going to be talking about. Now what happened? He said to her, no, you go back to your father's house, and you stay there till Shelah becomes an adult. Ki Omar, because he said, maybe he'll die like his two brothers. Rashi. Ki Omar, because he said, Rashi, follow carefully. Kilomar, that is to say, Doche Hoya Osa Bekash. He was pushing her away with straw. He had no intention of ever letting her marry his third son. Shelo Hoya Bedatu Lahatiyalo. Never had he any intention to let her marry him. Why? Says Rashi, Ki Omar Penyamus, Mukhsekes Hizu, Sheyamusu Anoshela. Because she is what's known in the Gemara as a Katlonis. And as far as a Katlonis is concerned, two husbands is enough. You don't need three for a Chazaka. That's not my comment. That's the Gemara's comment. So what does Rashi say? Rashi says, he told her something which had absolutely nothing at all to do with the truth. He told her, you go back to your father's house, and when Shayla becomes bar mitzvah, we'll talk about it. Says Rashi, but he had no intention. Why? Ki omar, because the truth of the matter is, he said, Penyamus, maybe this one will die like the other two. Now, there is a very fascinating Neidah be Yehuda, which is brought by the Ksav HaKabbalah. And the comment of the Neidah be Yehuda revolves around the following situation. On the one hand, it is forbidden to marry a katlonis, a woman two of whose husbands have passed away while married to her. She's not allowed to marry a third. That's katlonis. It is a chasakana. On the other hand, yibum is a mitzvah. And we have a general principle. Shomer mitzvah lo yeda dovora. A person who does a mitzvah will never come to harm. Can a person perform yibum with a katlonis? On the one hand, it's sakana. On the other hand, it's doch shoma mitzvah le'yeda davara. If you look at Rashi, it is quite obvious, since Rashi says he has no intention of ever letting his third son marry her, because, etc., etc., it would appear from Rashi that you do not invoke shomer mitzvah lo'yeda davara when it comes to doing yibum with a katlonis. So what does Rashi say? He says that when Yehuda said to Tamar, go home and wait till he grows up, it was a baba miser. It had nothing at all to do with anything. He was dochei of a cash. He was pushing her away with straw. Says the Neidah be Yehuda, v'zeh lishono. Omer ani, second line. I say, misvara, if you're asking me from a logic, I say, Shomer mitzvah lo yeda dovor ra. That a person who performs the yibum with a katlonis, it is permissible. Because shomer mitzvah lo yeda dovor ra. And I want you to know, minatemo al Rashi, I don't understand Rashi's comment when he says that the reason why he told her to stay at home until Shayla grew up is dochea al sa Yehuda bekash. Says there's an aid of Yehuda. Atu bo shoya Yehuda lahoro sadin shi asura lehinasi shehi katlonis. Here is a man who is going to tell her, a baba maisa, if in fact Shayla is not allowed to marry Tamar mitzad ha'alocha because she's a katlonis, so why does he spin her a yarn? Why doesn't he say to her, listen here, my friend, we love you very much, but as far as marrying my third son, halachically, it is totally impossible and unacceptable. So if halachically, it is unacceptable to perform yibum with a katlonis, so why didn't Yehuda tell her out straight? It can't happen, it can't be. You're a gerusha, I'm a kohen, can't be. So why spin a yarn? Uviyemes hora Yehuda mazeka halacha. This is a bal halacha of the highest order. Says the Neidah be Yehuda, the MS is not like Rashi. The MS is that Yehuda, in telling her to wait until Shayla becomes an adult, is giving her a halachic pronouncement. The who, what is it? Afalgav de Yavam Koton Mutili Yabim, below Chayeshin and Shema Yemotse Soris, Benimsa Over Aliseresha Sach, Dios Linen Bosarubo Sheinam Soris. These boys are all under bar mitzvah. A person, a youngster who is under bar mitzvah over the age of 9 and a day, is allowed to perform yibum. Kuf samach zayin in Eben Ezer. Allowed to perform yibum. However, the mitzvah of yibum is only in order to provide a child, in order to yokab al shem ha-meis. Says the Neidah Yehuda, should we consider possibly the youngster, the katan, who is going to perform yibum, is impotent? Maybe we should consider that possibility. And then there will be no child from this union. And it's an Isser Eishes Och, because it's not for the sake of Lahokim Zera. Says the Night of Yehuda, no, we don't entertain that possibility. You know why? Because we have a cloud that we follow the majority. Bosorov. And the majority of males are not impotent. And therefore, we would allow a cotton, under normal circumstances, to perform Yibum. No problem. However, here we have a different problem. Here we have a question that if the mitzvah of Yibum is not being performed, A, there's an Isser of Eishesach, and B, there is no inyan of Shomer Mitzvah L'Yedah Dovara, it's a Sakana. Mikol Mokum Le'inyan Sakanta De Katlonis Lo'az Linen Bosaruba De Chamira Sakanta Me Yisura De Chayashin and Dilma Yimotse Soris De Yen Kan Mitzvot Yibum De Yesh Kan Isser Eishesach De Gam Sakanta De Katlonis. Genius. In this case, where she is a Katlonis, if he is not a Soris, if he's not impotent, then he is performing the Mitzvah of Yibum. And even though she's a Katlonis, we have a clan of Shomer Mitzvah, Lo Yeda Davara. But if he is a Soris, then there's no Mitzvah of Yibum, there's no Shomer Mitzvah, Lo Yeda Davara, and there is a Sakana. And in Sakana, you don't go Bostorov. You don't rely on the majority in areas of Sakana. So therefore, to allow him to get married as a Koton cannot happen. Because the only way you can allow him to get married is to perform Yibum as a Koton is to rely on Rov. And since there's an element of Sakon involved because she's a Katlonit, so you can't allow him to marry her while he's a Koton. If you wait until he becomes an adult, and it can be verified as to whether he is a Soris or not, because there are signs which only come into effect when a person becomes Yud Gimel V'Yom Echad, then if he's not a Soris, then we invoke the inyan of Shomer Mitzvah Lo Yeda Dovara, and he will be able to perform the Mitzvah of Yibum, even though she's a Katlonis. Therefore, says the Night of Yehuda, Yehuda gave her the proper advice, Shvi Almona Beisavich, Ad Yigdal Sheila Bini, until Sheila becomes an adult, Ki Yomar, because he says, Pen Yomus Gam Hu Ki Yechov, if I let him marry her now. Therefore, Lochein Hore Yehuda Kahalocha, Shetzericho Lahamtin Agigdal Shelo, Loda Sheino Soris. Therefore, Yehuda has to allow Shelo to become an adult to find out whether he's a Soris or not. The Yehiya Mitzvah Yibum, and then if he's not a Soris, what he will be performing will be the Mitzvah of Yibum, who Memela Leke Sakanta, and Memela there will be no union of Sakona, Kishome Mitzvah Lo Yeda Dom. Very, very wonderful observation. Let me just conclude with a thought from the end of the Seder, just a moment, which I think is an absolute classic. At the end of the Parsha, the butler has a dream and the baker has a dream. How are they interpreted? The butler for good and the baker for bad. Let me just draw your attention to one nuance here and show you how the Gedalim went through the psukim with a fine tooth comb. In Pasuk Yud Beis, after the butler has had his dream, in Perek Mem Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayomer lo Yosef ze pisrono, and Yosef said to him, this is its interpretation. Pasuk Yud Ches comes to interpreting the baker's dream, Vaya'an Yosef Vayomer Zephistron. The butler it says Vayomer, and in the baker it says Vaya'an Yosef Vayomer. Says the Moshe Landinsky Zatzal, the Rosh Hashiva and Radim, the Chovetz Chaim's Rosh Hashiva. He gives a marshal. A doctor is summoned to a patient. He goes in. If he sees the patient is going to make a recovery, so he rushes out into the next room where the family are gathered, and he says to them, quickly, get a poultice or whatever they used to get,
You get a cup of Panadol, whatever. He gives advice. If he goes in and he sees there's nothing to be done, he doesn't say one word. What are you going to talk about? There's nothing to talk about. If the family will ask him, he'll have to tell them what the matzav is. But unless somebody asks him, he won't say. Is Yosef, who knew that the butler's dream was all about getting restored to his place, is Vayomer. He immediately told the butler the interpretation. The baker, who was going to be hanged in another couple of days, Yosef didn't feel he was mechuyev to go ahead and tell him, is Vayan, Yosef. It's only when the baker says to him, nu, what's the interpretation? Then he had to tell him. But if the baker wouldn't have asked him, he wouldn't have told him. Vayomer goes on good news, Vayan Vayomer goes on bad news. We leave it over here. Oh, yes, just for a moment, please. The public inquiry in regards to the Eruv is beginning tomorrow, Mirat Hashem. It is really quite important that as many people as possible be present at one stage or another, and the times when the inquiry is in operation are on the door.